Broadcasting live every Monday night from the Press Box Sports Emporium for the 16th consecutive year. Randy and his special guest will review, preview, and just talk the talk for the next hour. So let's get the party started and send it out to the Press Box.
Let's get it started. Ha! Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started.
We are coming to you live as we always do each and every Monday night. It's the Players Show. Yay. Somebody screaming. Let's welcome Caleb and Leonard. Yay. Let's wake everybody up here. Real quick, how do you guys feel today?
Sore.
Yeah, a little sore.
A little sore.
How long until you don't feel sore? February?
Saturday.
March.
Is it March? You feel okay by Saturday?
I mean, you kind of get in your routine, and you start feeling a little bit better on Saturday, and the adrenaline kicks in on Sunday, and you're all right.
So you don't feel better, it's just the adrenaline kicks
in.
Yeah,
basically.
I gotcha. All right, so let's start with, tell us a little bit about, is it Anamorosa? Am I close with that?
Oh, Anamosa?
Anamosa.
Anamosa.
Tell me a little bit about Iowa.
Anamosa is just a little farming community, about 2,500 people, middle of nowhere, Iowa, and cornfields galore, you know.
Mount Pleasant High. Now, that's not far from Bentendorf, right?
It's about an hour and a half, yeah.
I have friends there.
Oh, do you? Yeah, Bentendorf's a pretty nice place, but yeah, it's about an hour and a half.
Is it really nice there?
Oh, yeah. So, like, Bentendorf's part of the Quad City, so it's like Rock Island, Moline, and then Davenport. And Bentendorf's by far the nicest one, so.
So it's worth making a trip up there, is it? Really?
Definitely worth it.
Because I almost went up a couple times. I don't know if you're much into the UFC or MMA, but Pat Miletich and Tim Sylvia and Matt Hughes isn't far from there. So the whole Miletich fighting system guys were there.
Yeah, so they have a big Mississippi Valley Fair there, too. That's worth going to in the summer sometime if you ever have time to go check it out.
Yeah. Nice. I might have to do that. All right, I don't know much about Mount Pleasant High, so what can you tell me?
Graduating class 150, so really big.
Crazy. Yeah, it's really good.
And, it's just small town Iowa, really. You know, I lived in Anamosa for 2 years, then we moved to the country around Mount Pleasant. So never went to school in Anamosa or anything like that. But yeah, Mount Pleasant's like 8,000 people.
So another biggie.
Yeah, another huge metropolis. Yeah.
What exactly is it a griffon?
A griffin?
Yeah, is it griffin? Griffin with an O, right?
Yeah, griffin with an O. Yeah, it's a combination between a lion and an eagle.
So it's a make-believe.
I mean, you could say that. Okay. Yeah, it's pretty real to me, but it's all right.
So how bad does Max look?
How bad? Like, how hardcore is it?
Yeah,
We need a costume change for Max in my school because it's pretty bad costume. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. For those of you that don't know, that's the mascot of, was it Missouri
Western. Yep.
State.
Yep.
So you got to, what's the
Directional Missouri University is what we call
okay. I know that we talked about it last time you were here, Caleb. Give us a little rundown on Katy, Texas, home of Sage Northcutt.
Okay. Katy, Texas it's a pretty big city now. I think a study just came out. It's bigger than the city of Pittsburgh. Katy is the suburb of Houston, about 40 minutes out from Houston. And, we got 9 high schools in Katy. My graduating class was 1,100 kids. My high school had about 4,200 kids. It's a big and booming city.
Which one of the two high schools that you guys played at do you think has the nicer field?
Oh, his by far. We played on painted dirt, basically.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know much about his high school field?
Oh, no. I'm assuming it was turf, and I'm assuming it was one of those $50 million stadiums probably that they played in Texas high school football. So.
Do you think that's all it cost was 50? Because it's the most expensive high school football field, I believe, in the country.
Yeah, they just built that new one now. I think it's like $71 million, something like that.
Is that not crazy?
That's insane.
It's something crazy.
Yeah.
And you told me this last time, but explain to me, you know, the whole Katy thing. I know Texas and football is big, but that's more than Bishop Gorman, you know, where Snoop Dogg and the Fertittas and all them went. What's so special about Katy?
It's just, it means so much to the community, and it's such, like, it's something that brings everybody together on Saturday, Friday nights. Like, I mean, the stores really do close down. People really are, like, they shut their work down to go watch Katy Tigers, go watch, you know, Katy High School football. So it's a really big deal. I mean, our state championship every year it goes higher and higher. I think last year was like 60,000 people at the state game. So, I mean, Texas football is just something else right now.
Is it a lot like, you know, the movie Marshall, you know, in the movie where it was, it's everything in that city? Well, I would assume it's the same, not to the level of people, but, you know, in Missouri and Iowa, high school football.
Yeah, it's pretty similar. I mean, just smaller town shut down instead of bigger town. So, yeah, there's only a couple thousand people at the game instead of all the people he's got at his game. So.
But I'm sure there's a ton of other things to do in Katy. So why is football what it is there?
I mean, not really. It's a suburb. It's not. It's just far enough from Houston to where you're not in the city. You know, it's a bunch of suburbs and high schools and small businesses and you know, so that's what it is. And so it really isn't that much to do. It's, you know, it's your football, it's your sports, your high school teams. There's a lot of families that are there, and so a lot of the kids are playing on Friday nights. So it's real easy for the whole town, almost not the whole town, but a lot of people, kids and families, to be at the football games every week.
What are tickets to a game cost?
$10.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I would have assumed, again, because it's life, you know, that they could have.
Yeah, no, $10 or $20 in a state game, like $50 if you want some really good seats, but nothing outrageous.
I did my 22 seconds of research, and you probably know this, but I don't know if anybody else does. Did you know that UCLA has the most national titles of any college?
Oh, I do know that. And we're playing for, we have 113 national titles, right?
133 team national titles.
Yeah. And then there's like our men's water polo team is playing for one, and our women's soccer team is playing for one in the upcoming like weeks.
Ah. So other than the 130, you know, basketball titles, what other sports? Now, you mentioned it too. But I'm saying, what are some of the other sports that have the national titles?
Water polo has a few, women's soccer, track and field, the volleyball. Oh my goodness, the list. Gymnastics had won a few of them. There's so many. Just about every sport you can water. I mean, rowing. If you name a sport, UCLA has won that championship.
Title.
You know, football has just won, which is so depressing. And it was like in the 40s, you know. So that don't even really. We gotta get those numbers up.
Right.
We gotta get those numbers up.
It doesn't count. Tell us something about UCLA that we wouldn't know about.
Not a big party school. People would think UCLA, LA, big party school. Nah, it's a lot of schoolwork. A lot of schoolwork. A lot of smart people there.
We had Cadillac here last week, and we were talking about the Iron Bowl, and most people talk about that being the biggest rivalry. How big is UCLA, USC?
Man, it's pretty huge, especially if you're out there on the West Coast. It's one of the bigger rivalries out there. I mean, I would know. I got kicked out the game and after the fourth play, you know, as a freshman, got sucked into the rivalry right there. So it's a huge rivalry, a lot of animosity between those kids.
What was your big rival? I know not to that extent, but.
Our big rival? A school called Northwest Missouri State. And, yeah, they pretty much wiped the floor with us every year, so it wasn't really much of a rivalry, but. We beat them 2 out of the 5 years I was there. So
it is a rivalry.
It is a rivalry. I mean, they don't claim it as a rivalry, right? We're like their little brother to them, but to us, it's a rivalry game.
Hey, USC says that about us, the same thing, and it used to just – it used to just make my skin crawl.
Yeah.
They were saying that USF and UCF was a rivalry, and my son who went to one and my daughter went to the other, my son was like, it's not a rivalry. You can't beat us. You haven't beat us, you know. And then, of course, this year, I don't know if you saw that game.
Yeah, it did.
Good game.
High scoring, yeah.
Unbelievable
game.
All right, and I got to say this real quick, and I promised you I wouldn't talk about it. Are you a UFC fan?
A little bit, yeah.
You need to watch last Saturday's pay-per-view.
Okay.
That's all I'm allowed to say because Caleb hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But you need to watch it. Your thoughts about, what is it, the second ball child? They're pulling him out of school.
Man, it's crazy, you know, the methods to LeVar Ball's madness, but I'm going to give him props. He's in his kids' lives. He's raised what seems like good kids to this point. Lonzo's doing well for himself. The other kids they've been pretty successful to this point. So, you know, you go with what the dad says. I mean, it's a head-scratcher to me and to a lot of people, but then again, you just kind of got to, you know, he's a grown man, and he's policed his family well to this point, I think, so...
And I'm assuming both of you bought the $500 pair of shoes?
No.
I'm actually going to get a pair, and I'm going to get a pair of some of the gear to support. I will.
Are you really?
I am going to, yes. I'm a big Lonzo Ball fan.
All right.
Big Lonzo Ball fan.
What do you know about the shoe? Are they different? I don't know anything about them. When I saw the price on them, I said, I think I'm going
to
pass.
I mean, they're basketball sneakers. I'm getting it so more to support the culture, support the movement. You know, I think it's cool that they're starting their own thing and not just going what everybody else is doing. So I will support them.
All right, so you're going to buy those shoes, but both of you guys talk about what you wore yesterday, the My Cause, My Cleats.
Yeah. So I had the cleats for the work done charities and for the work that he does with single-family homes. I had a lot of experience with that, with growing up with my mom as a kid, and my dad worked a lot, and he was out of the country a lot. And so just seeing her struggles and seeing things she dealt with, kind of raising a family by herself, kind of led my heart to dealing with the single parent homes.
Leonard?
Yeah, I did Shriners Hospitals, and didn't know a ton of people growing up that needed assistance from Shriners, but I just know they don't turn any families away. And I think it's pretty special what they do for kids and their families and needs. And so it's a foundation that people in my community back home and my family has supported just for what they do.
Right.
And I just thought that was a good foundation to get the cause out there.
And how was the process? You guys, you know, everybody picked their cause, and then what? You had to do the shoes. They got this, you know, the NFL got the shoes done. You picked the artist.
No, so for me in particular, Shriners approached me and said, "Hey, is there anything you want on the cleats?" And I said, "No, I think it's best that you guys do what's best for you guys, what you think's gonna get your cause out there better, you know." So I just let them, and they hired an artist and all that kind of stuff. And I think there was 8 or 9 guys who did Shriners across the league, and me and Alan Cross, our cleats were the only two that were similar. Everyone else had different ones, completely different ones. So I thought it was just best for them to hire an artist and let them do what they wanted, you know.
Caleb, how'd you make the decision of who, what, where?
I basically did the same thing Leonard did. My PR team, they had asked me what I wanted. I told them to just find the artist and let him, you know, whatever they think is best for the cause, whatever the charities want. So they work with Work Done Charities, and they put the cleats together, and I had no saying it. I said, whatever you guys put out, I'll wear, and I'll support it proudly.
Now, I know you and I talked in the locker room the other day. We're going to somehow get the shoes to Warwick so Warwick can do.
So they actually got it today, and they picked up the cleats, and they'll be donated to Work Done Charities, and they'll be auctioned off.
Then we'll auction them off. And what are you going
to
do, Leonard?
Yeah, same as well. Auction off so that all the proceeds go to Shriners Hospitals. So.
Do you know how you're going to auction it or where?
No, so the best – I didn't really know how I was going to go about it, but NFL actually has a site called like NFLauction.com,
mm-hmm.
and they auction off a ton of stuff on there, and everything, 100% of that, what goes from that website goes straight to the foundations and charities where they claim it's going to go. There's no administration fees and all that kind of stuff, so that's pretty cool. So no one else is getting a cut, you know what I mean? So that's pretty sweet.
Cool. Let's talk about the playoffs, the 4 teams that got announced. I don't know what day, Saturday, I think, or yesterday. I don't know when it was. What are your thoughts? Obviously, the first two are easy. I think even Georgia was easy.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Alabama being the fourth?
I want Leonard to go first on this one because he had a good point about it the other day.
So. Oh, I think it's an SEC bias, honestly, to let a one-loss team who didn't make the conference. I mean, I just think that you alienate an entire part of college football, and like you make conference championships not a staple of why you get in. So like, I would have taken USC or Ohio State over Alabama in it just because of the sole fact they won their conference, you know. And so Alabama didn't earn the right to go to their conference championship. So they're a great team, but I just thought that they alienate that part of college football. You know, you don't. It's like, well, what's the point of winning my conference, you know, if we're not going to be able to get in anyway? So
before you answer, Caleb, I'm just going to throw this out. My one thought is not every team plays in a conference championship.
Yes, true.
So if that's the case, then, you know, you're throwing Notre Dame out. You're throwing of those schools out. Caleb?
I mean, as far as I felt about it, I'm kind of tired of seeing – I mean, they're a great team, Alabama is, but it's the same teams in the college football playoffs every single year, and it's just like – and, yes, they're good teams, but as we all know, when you're playing playoff football, anything can happen. So I saw something on the on Twitter, an article somebody had wrote about having an 18 playoff where the Power 5 teams, the conference champions, all get to go automatically. That's what gets you in. So the conference champions and the Power 5 team goes in, and they have 3 at-large teams. So you can get a team like a UCF who goes undefeated, and a team like, you know, like a Memphis or something who goes undefeated. You can get those guys in and mix it up with the Power 5 conference, and you have like a much broader and a much more kind of full spectrum. And I think that's a pretty good idea to me. Because right now it seems like the BCS still.
True. You know, and if this would have been, what, 15, 20 years ago, like when Brigham Young not only went in but, you know, won, UCF would be in the championship game, you know, against Clemson or against Oklahoma, but they're undefeated. Mm-hmm. My only thing is, and again, you gave me your reason, how do you put Ohio State in after that loss to Iowa?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing, too. That's a really valid argument because that was I grew up a Hawkeye fan. And that was a fantastic game to watch, you know, for Iowa. Sure. But for the rest of the nation, you're like, it's just, you know, it's hard to argue for putting a team like that. So I totally understand that part of it, too.
I know we're way over and we need to go to a break, but I want to talk about this in this segment. With all the changes of the coaches, I was talking to some guys in the locker room the other day. Give me your take as an athlete, as a scholarship athlete. Your coach leaves. Should the player, I think they should. Most players say no because it would be some form of free agency. But should players be allowed to leave if the head coach leaves?
I 100% wholeheartedly believe if the head coach leaves a team, the player should have the chance to be able to transfer without having to sign a year if they want to.
So Division II works a little bit differently. So Division II, you get one lateral transfer outside of your conference without losing a year of eligibility.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we kind of already have that.
Right.
But, yeah, I think that, you know, more than anything, I went to Missouri Western because of my O-line coach. Not necessarily. I didn't know anything about the school until he showed up and started recruiting me. And so if he would have left, you know, I would have wanted to leave too.
Right.
Because I don't – maybe trying to follow him to where he went, you know, or just – I mean, that was a huge part. The people are a huge part of why we choose the schools that we do.
Yep.
And when the people leave, it's just it does change, you know. So I think they should be able to have that opportunity.
This whole system now, you know, with Jimbo leaving, some recruits have now decommitted. And if Taggart comes, some of the athletes are going to decommit and follow him. So it's – they were lucky that they haven't signed yet. And that's my only thing. You know, the kid at UCF from Hawaii came because of Frost. Frost now leaves for a better opportunity and more money, and I get it. But now the players that are there are kind of like locked in.
Yeah.
They lose out.
Yeah. All right. Let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from the Press Box Sports Emporium. This is the Players Show. We'll be right back.
Is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Welcome to Culver's.
When we say every Culver's Butterburger is cooked to order, here's what we mean.
Can I get a Butterburger?
The Culver's Deluxe, please.
Ketchup, mustard, pickle, and onion?
Craig Culver, I'm going to cook for you.
Oh, awesome. All right.
Follow me.
I would love to.
Come on,
to.
Man. Fresh Midwest beef.
It looks great.
And we're looking for that nice sear, just like we got right here. That's where that great steak flavor comes from.
Totally fresh, made to order, the way you want it.
It's delicious. Fresh, hot, off the grill. Exactly how I like it.
Craig Culver on Culver's Fresh Frozen Custard Chocolate Shake.
Here's something you may not know. Our chocolate shake actually begins with Culver's vanilla fresh frozen custard, made with the world's finest vanilla.
Wait a minute, vanilla?
Yep, it's the ultimate foundation for all our shakes and malts. Then we add thick, rich chocolate and handcraft it right before your eyes.
Tell you what I do know, that sounds incredible right now.
Nothing beats a cool, creamy chocolate shake. That's what makes it a classic. Welcome to Delicious.
Saturday, January 20th, the high-octane action of full-throttle pro wrestling takes over the 7-0 Center. See WWE and TNA veterans like Shannon Moore, Samuel Shaw, and the freak Rob Terry battling out in the ring. Meet WWE Hall of Famer and NWO original Kevin Nash. Violence, action, superstars. You can't miss this.
Get your tickets now at FullThrottlePro Wrestling.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field. Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
It's time to get back in the holiday spirit, and we are very excited to once again be involved with the Ryan Neese Foundation and the 9th Annual Power of Giving Holiday Party presented by the DiBartolo Family Foundation. The party is taking place on December 9th at T. Pepin's Hospitality Center. You will enjoy delicious food, open bar, games, celebrity guests, and great entertainment while helping to empower teens, become leaders, and impact giving in their communities. To purchase your tickets or to get more information on the Ryan Neese Foundation, please go to www.ryanneesefoundation.com. It will be the 9th annual Power of Giving holiday party, and we hope to see you there.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
The PressBox Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the PressBox also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12-draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The PressBox Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
How you doing? This is Tony Gonzalez from the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the Press Box Sports Emporium. It's gift-giving time, and we are going to be giving away the final pair of tickets for the 9th Annual Power of Giving Holiday Party. It's Thursday, so we're going to do that before the end of the show. But first, we have a gift certificate to Epic Body Works for you both to go get a 90-minute massage.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So whatever day that is that you think you're going to need it the most, I guess it could be every day.
Every day.
Right? Give me your thoughts on what happened with the Giants and Eli.
Man, I thought it was, I mean, it's crazy. I thought it was cowardly and kind of selfish. You got to let that quarterback finish out the season, you know? Like, that's, he's been the quarterback for that long. He meant that much to his team, his players, he's the leader of that team. You let him finish out the year, you know? That was crazy to me.
Leonard?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, I think he's earned the right, being a two-time Super Bowl champion, to be able to finish out his career or the season there as a starter. And, it was just kind of funny because I think everybody knew that McAdoo was going to lose his job regardless of what happened with the rest of the season. And he tried to save his job by, oh, we're doing this for the future and we want to see who our quarterback is going to be. And he got fired anyway. So I thought it was a lot of the other players around the league felt the same way, you know. I feel like with Caleb, it was pretty cowardly, you know. He just, I mean, I know they weren't scoring a lot of points, but at some point in time, you know, it's players got to go out and execute as well. But play calling and scheme goes a lot into it, you know. And so just playing against them and how simple their offense was, and that, you know, there wasn't a whole lot that they could do off, you know, they just couldn't do a whole lot. So
the thing that throws me on the whole thing is why the ownership didn't tell him not to do it.
Oh, step in and
step in, and you know it's my team. You know what happens. You know Jerry Jones does it. You know, yeah. A lot of owners are like, I've been told stories with the Washington Redskins about Clinton Portis, and you know he'd call up to the owner, and the owner would call down to the coach and make changes on players in the middle of the game and all sorts of wild stuff.
Wow.
Oh yeah, no.
That's pretty incredible. Yeah.
I was told a story by a good friend of mine who has done the show numerous times, who played on the team, that out of the clear blue, a coach comes up, and he's a tight end. out of the clear blue, a coach comes up to him and says, you're going in to play fullback. And he's like, what do you mean? I don't play fullback. He goes, no, you play fullback now. And it's because Clinton called up to ownership.
Dan Snyder.
Yeah, to Dan Snyder. And Dan then called down and said, put this guy in to play fullback.
Wow.
So you know it can be done. So if ownership knew they were going to do this, and they did.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I don't get it. And it's not because of the streak. The streak really shouldn't matter. It's
That's
just
true.
Who Eli is and what he's done and what he's done to that team. And he's not the problem.
Yeah, no, I don't think the – that Mara, what's his name? Dan Mara? I think it just makes him look better by firing those guys after the fact. You know what I mean? Like, had they gone out and beat the Raiders, you know, he'd probably been like, well, you know, and made some excuse.
Point.
But, I mean, he's the same guy who signed that kicker who had the domestic violence on his record, you know what I mean, and was charged with it and convicted of it. And he still signed him and was like, you know, and so he's that same guy. So, he's,
right.
you know, he's looking out for his own best interests. So.
All right, another player to talk about who's in the news is Gronkowski.
Oh, yeah.
Give me your thoughts on that, other than stupid and knucklehead.
That's way past stupid and knucklehead, man. You're risking somebody else's well-being. You know, that was childish. It was crazy. Like, I've never seen it like that. He loaded up and just threw a shoulder into a dude's head, gave him a concussion.
Yeah, so I knew that guy got a concussion, but I didn't know it was from Gronk on that after the play. And he gave an apology, but like 2 minutes before he gave the apology, he's like walking out the field, just like going crazy in front of the fans and stuff. So I don't really feel like it was that sincere, you know. It's just kind of sad that, like, no matter, like, if someone's getting the best of you, like emotionally and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't justify you hitting them after the, you know, after
right.
the whistle. You know what I mean? That's not what football's about.
He's on face down on the ground. He doesn't see you coming.
Yeah, I mean, he's got can't defend himself.
Can't defend himself. That was crazy. I've never.
Yeah.
No,
so yeah, he got suspended for a game, but. I think we were just talking about it earlier. Like, he needs to get fined, like, a significant amount of money.
Yeah, but you can't fine him enough. I mean, a fine's going to mean nothing. And I know money is money, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you have. If you're fined, whatever, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I think a game isn't enough.
It's just like there's got to be some kind of consistency, because you got guys like Vontaze Burfict, you know, get a targeting penalty.
Every little thing he does.
Right. And it's like $5,000. Dominican Sue steps on somebody.
Right.
Oh, here's $250,000 away. You get 4 games off, you know, and then – Gronk, it's a debate if something should, like, there's no consistency there, because he gave the player a concussion. You know, that was way out of bounds. And so there's just got to be consistency how everything is done. You know, it's just crazy.
I don't know if you know this, but from what I understand, he's going to contest the game suspension. I'll bet you by Wednesday, because tomorrow's your off day, by Wednesday he's going to pull that back, because he's not thinking. I believe they play the Dolphins this week, and they play Pittsburgh next week. So thinking ahead,
yeah,
if you're going to be suspended only one game.
You don't want to spend it for the Dolphins.
Right, you know, to be ready for that. We were talking about it before the show when Brett Favre came up, Caleb. Who would you have liked to have played against, you know, that is no longer playing? You know, we were talking about Brett Favre, and that was the guy that I used to love to watch. Is there a guy in the past that you wished you could play against now?
Talking about, like, physically block or just a different player, I'd just, like, love to, like,
This is your fantasy world, so it can be whatever you want. You know, play against, or, you know, see play. You know, it could be an offensive player that you'd at least be able to watch. Because there's, as you know, there's a big difference between watching it on TV, watching it on DVD or CD or whatever, and actually being there and watch.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would say, like, I mean, man, Peyton Manning. I've always been a big Peyton Manning fan, and kind of the way he has control over the whole, like, the whole – offense and organization, the whole game at all times. I think it'd be really cool to play, you know, against Peyton Manning's prime. Or a guy like Sean Taylor. I mean, we celebrated that anniversary of him passing away.
Yeah.
Being on the same field and looking, watching it. Cause I mean, I love people who play physical and who kind of bring that intimidation factor onto the field. You know, like, who you're just like, people got to watch out for you. And it would have been a lot of fun to, I mean, get to play against and watch those guys play.
Leonard?
Yeah, I think a guy I would have, like, really loved to see him play was probably Kurt Warner with the Rams. And, I mean, just the greatest show on turf, you know, that was pretty incredible what they did. And then defensively, I say this now, but my dad's like Bruce Smith bought for the Bills. I mean, he used to give guys nightmares, and I would just like the opportunity. You know, it would have been sweet to just try and block that guy for an entire game, you know, just – but, I mean
– Oh, you're not even going to block him for one play. You want to block him the whole game.
Yeah, I mean – all right. His spin move, his power rush, I mean, everything he used to do to guys. I mean, like, they legit said, you know, he used to, like, offensive tackles came out and said after they retired, like, yeah, he used to keep me up nights before the game, like three nights before the game, because I knew how good he was and how much of a battle it was going to be the entire game. So I think, like, if you like to compete, that's what the NFL is all about, you know, then you want that kind of opportunity. So
who was your favorite player growing up?
Oof.
Do I play the Jeopardy music?
Yeah, you might have to play the Jeopardy music on this one. I have so many. There's so many of them. Peyton Manning, Troy Polamalu, I was a big fan of his. Julius Peppers. Like, there's so many of them. Like, it's hard. Dan Thomason at one point, my favorite player. It's just too many to count. I love watching a lot of different guys. Yeah.
You the same, or is there one guy that kind of sticks out?
Yeah, it's too many to count. I mean, I like Walter Jones, Jonathan Ogden.
That guy's a mountain. Still is.
Yeah, he's a giant. Huge. I mean, he was also also could have been a world class shot putter too. You know, he went to UCLA, so mm-hmm. You know, you don't know all about him, but yeah, he could have actually went to the Olympics to throw a shot put, but you know, he decided to play football. So. Yeah, those guys like that.
Have you guys seen the movie Varsity Blues?
Yes.
Okay, so you know the clock play?
Yeah.
You know when he's running down the clock play and then he drills the guy in the horse?
Yeah.
Did you see that sort of just happened with the Broncos?
No.
He went to throw the ball out of bounds. It wasn't a clock play, but he went to throw the ball out of bounds and drill the guy in the head.
No, I didn't see that.
That was standing on the sidelines. Yeah, you need to check that out. All right, so we were talking about food before. Do you guys have to watch what you eat, or do they make you eat more so that you're bigger? Or how does that work?
You know your own body. Everybody has kind of like their own playing weight. It's different for everybody. Some people playing weight on the offensive line could be 340. That's how you move when you're, you know, at 340. Somebody else might be 305. You know, you just got to kind of know your own body and where you stand and eat accordingly.
Do you get weighed once?
Weigh in every morning when you come in and every day after you leave practice. So they're on top of it.
Do you ever have to worry about it weight-wise? Do you ever have to lose or?
Rookie year, I had to gain some weight.
Really?
Yeah, when I got in from college, and so, you know, that's one of the. But you know, now I'm where I might need to be, so it's okay.
I think that'd be a lot of fun, though. Somebody comes up to me and tells me I have to put 5 pounds on.
I mean, you gotta.
It's different. Yeah.
It's different because you gotta put the right 5 pounds on. So it's a lot of lettuce and you know and
chicken breast
and chicken breast and grilled salted chicken breast and Kiona.
Quinoa.
I always say quinoa. I don't know why I always say that. Quinoa.
What was it like in Green Bay? Not the game, just being in Green Bay, being at Legendary Field, that kind of stuff.
That was one of the coolest things I've been a part of. They have this long tunnel. Like when you're walking in, it's like a 100-yard tunnel walking from the locker room to the field. And it's a tunnel that you barely can fit two people in this tunnel. So it's not that big. When you have your pads on, it's like one person walking in or walking this way. And it's like reminded me of a Gladiator movie because it's this long, small tunnel, and you can hear the fans from outside.
Yeah,
but
echoes.
You can't see it echoing, but
it's
you can't
concrete,
see.
Yeah, so you just echoes.
And
yeah.
You can't see anything but the tunnel, and it's just concrete. And it was a lot of. It was so cool. It was really, really cool.
Would it have been better for it to be colder? You know, the snow on the ground, all that kind of. Again, something you're used to, but you know, the Texas guy.
Nah, it was muddy and cold enough. I'm good. I don't need no more than that.
Would you have liked it to have been?
Oh, no. I mean, it was a beautiful day. I mean, like the Kansas City game last year, 50 degrees, the sun was out, you know what I mean? And Kansas City is a great place to play as well. And so just the atmosphere itself was perfect the way it was, you know? I mean, snow seems more like a playoff thing in Green Bay, you know? But, I mean, they typically have about a foot of snow on the ground in Wisconsin right now anyway, so we got pretty lucky. But, no, I think just the – how the day was, it was perfect the way it was.
What do you guys do, especially in a place like Green Bay, that there really is nothing around? You know, a lot of times you mention Kansas City, the best barbecue, you're probably able to go out and get something. What do you do in a city like Green Bay that there's nothing to do, just eat in the hotel?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Because we had to stay in a town called Appleton because Green Bay is like a very historic town, and they're very particular about how, like, if the town increases in size or what they're going to bring into the town. So they don't want to bring, like, hotels into the town.
Really?
Yeah, because they're like, that's not who, like,
who
we are, you know? Right. So we had to stay about, what, 30 minutes away, 40 minutes away? 30, 40 minutes away, and then drive in, and just based on what, you know, One thing about Wisconsin that I've been to Wisconsin a couple times, and there's like a pub on every corner of Wisconsin. I mean, you can get cheese curds and beer just about anywhere you want.
Well, you have to drink because it's Wisconsin and cold it is, right?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I mean, this one time I was driving through a town, a population of 75.
Wow.
There was a church and a grain elevator, and there was two pubs, and that was it. And the two pubs were packed, and people were still driving from the country in to go to these pubs. And I was like, that's some serious dedication.
Crazy. What was your favorite team growing up?
I didn't necessarily have a favorite team. I was just more of a fan of players. But if I had a favorite team, just from where we were at and the kind of games that we got on basic cable, was probably the Rams. You know, just because of Kurt Warner and all those guys. But that was the team we probably watched the most growing up.
Of course, when you say the Rams, you're talking about the St. Louis Rams.
Yes.
I remember when it was the Los Angeles Rams.
Right.
The first time.
The first time, yeah, yeah.
It still trips me out when I see, like, LAC. You're watching football, and it's like the
Clippers are not playing
exactly.
Football.
Yeah, exactly. Not the Clippers, you know. So it's still – I got to remind myself the LA has two teams now when they had none not so long ago.
Well, and then there was the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
You know? And so there have been other teams that have
Vegas
come.
Raiders,
how strange will it be to see the Las Vegas Raiders?
That would be something. Yeah. I don't.
Well, it's going to happen. So
yeah,
I mean, it was 2 years away. But
yeah, that would be, I mean, it's good for the league expanding. But, I mean, I personally would not want to play in Vegas now.
How come? Just because of Vegas?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been a Vegas person. Yeah, I've just never been to Vegas. I've been a couple times.
So friends of mine that live there, you know, have always told me when we talk about it, you know, there's more than just the Strip.
Yeah.
So as long as you stay away from the Strip.
Yeah, that's the challenge, though, right? You know what I mean?
No, that's true.
Yeah, a lot of young men with a lot of money to spend. It's scary as it is already, but, I mean, just some of the stories from people that I know who go to Vegas, you know.
Sure. So it'll be better to play against the Vegas team, not play for the Vegas team.
Yeah.
Because you won't have necessarily time to go get in trouble.
Yeah, you go play at a brand new stadium and just be there for a day and get out, you know. So they do have great food there. So that is a plus.
I think it's going to be good for the league, for fans, because now when a fan looks at the away games, my favorite team, the away games, I'm going to Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to go on the road, you know, yeah, there's Green Bay for Green Bay, but take out the legendary stuff of Green Bay.
Yeah.
There's no reason to go there.
Right. Do you go to Green Bay or Vegas? Describe what it's like to be on the plane going, more importantly than coming back, because coming back you're either going to be the winner or the loss. But what's it like flying up to somewhere other than Atlanta or Charlotte, you know, that's more than, you know, a 45-minute-hour flight?
I mean, it's kind of different for everybody. Everybody has their routine that they go through. You know, I know a lot of guys read books. You know, some guys take the time to study the Bible, study the Word. Some guys listen to music, sleep, whatever it is, however it is you handle your routine. You know, a lot of brotherhood, a lot of talking, guys, you know, chit-chatting, getting along. You know, just getting prepared for the game, however it is you see best, getting your mind right.
Travel, you know, I've always said, come on, it's not that bad. It's a plane.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, sort of first class. It's sort of whatever. But now, as you know, I go to so many UFCs. I hate flying.
Yeah.
You know, and I weigh just under what you guys weigh. So, you know, it can't be comfortable.
Oh, I mean, going is not too bad. They give us about a seat in between each other. But coming back after the game, I felt pretty crappy sitting in that seat yesterday. I'm not going to, because, you know, you're just sore sometimes. And it's, you know. We're big guys, so your knees are pushing up again, you know. But it's, you know, it is what it is. It's transportation, you know. You do what you have to do.
Are you an aisle or a window?
My assigned seat is an aisle.
Aisle or window?
I like the window if there's nobody next to me, because then I can stick my leg over.
Right.
But if there's somebody next to me, I need the aisle. I got to stick my leg out.
You need the aisle. All right, before we hit the break, Ed back at the studio, I guess, has a question for you guys. Ed, you there?
I am here, but that was like 20 minutes ago.
Well, feel free to ask your question now. I just saw it.
I just wanted to go back to the Giants Manning thing real quickly. I felt that when the decision came out from the coach, or who's now fired, to bench Eli, that I think management should have stepped in there, because I don't think the Raiders game was a deal breaker. But the Manning situation was a deal breaker. I think they should have stepped in, fired him then, and then said, Manning, you start. Because this is a PR nightmare for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's what you think too. They think that the ownership should have stepped in beforehand, but I mean, he was okay with it because he's like, you know, nothing's working right now, so just easy for him to sit back and fire people when you know, decisions were made. But yeah, no, I don't think that would have been a long-term solution for them anyway. I think with five games left.
How do you guys think Manning will do next year in Jacksonville?
Jacksonville or Denver?
I saw that somewhere.
Oh, it's Jacksonville.
Like, Jacksonville.
Yeah, yeah. Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, so?
It's Jacksonville. He's definitely going to bring him there. You know, the tie, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it's definitely going to happen there. All right, let's go hit another break. Coming to you live from the Press Box Sports Emporium. This is the Player Show.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
Welcome to Culver's.
When we say every Culver's Butterburger is cooked to order, here's what we mean.
Could I get a Butterburger?
The Culver's Deluxe, please.
Ketchup, mustard, pickle, and onion?
Craig Culver, I'm going to cook for you.
Oh, awesome. All right.
Follow me.
I would love to.
Come on,
to.
Man. Fresh Midwest beef.
It looks great.
And we're looking for that nice sear, just like we got right here. That's where that great steak flavor comes from.
Totally fresh, made to order, the way you want it.
It's delicious. Fresh, hot, off the grill. Exactly how I like it.
Welcome to Delicious.
Saturday, January 20th, the High Octane Action of Full Throttle Pro Wrestling takes over the Seminole Rec Center. See WWE and TNA veterans like Shannon Moore, Samuel Shaw, and the freak Rob Terry battling out in the ring. Meet WWE Hall of Famer and NWO original Kevin Nash. Violence, action, superstars. You can't miss this.
Get your tickets now at FullThrottlePROWrestling.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
It's time to get back in the holiday spirit, and we are very excited to once again be involved with the Ryan Neese Foundation and the 9th annual Power of Giving Holiday Party presented by the DeBartolo Family Foundation. The party is taking place on December 9th at T. Pepin's Hospitality Center. You will enjoy delicious food, open bar, games, celebrity guests, and great entertainment while helping to empower teens to become leaders and impact giving in their communities. To purchase your tickets or to get more information on the Ryan Neese Foundation, please go to www.ryanneesefoundation.com. It will be the 9th annual Power of Giving Holiday Party, and we hope to see you there.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12-draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Elm Avery in Tampa.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Mike Allstadt from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Yeah.
Okay, we are back. Final couple minutes, and then we're going to do the drawing for the tickets for the Ryan Neese 9th Annual Power of Giving Party. But it's gift time again for coming out, guys, and we certainly do appreciate it. We have a charge hub for you. This is where you can charge five different apparatus.
Wow.
At the apparati.
Apparati.
Thank you.
At the same time, so it's kind of cool.
And thank you.
Sweet.
Takes. I think the cords are in there, and it's a total hookup.
Oh yeah.
How often and how much does the playbook change, or is it the same playbook that you have to learn at the beginning, and then it's just certain plays for each game?
Yeah, it's the same playbook throughout, but game plan wise, you know, the amount of plays that we're going to call change, or the, you know, the looks that they're going to give us, it changes off that. So we might, like this last week, we ran a play that we haven't called since like the second week of the preseason. So it just, you know, you just got to go over it again, review it, and just got to rep it and practice a couple times and go out there on game day and make it work.
Am I allowed to ask how many plays are in a playbook or this playbook?
A lot.
All right. That's a great number.
Yeah,
okay.
A lot of plays. And it's not even so much like the amount of plays. It's just so many different ways you can run the same play. There's just so many variations of the same play for so many different looks.
I mean,
that it, you know.
Yeah, we can literally run the same play out of like five or six different formations. And that'll change how the defense is going to line up. So sometimes it turns into different double team combinations. It just morphs into its own, you know, its own thing. So it's pretty incredible, actually. I never knew it could be like that. So,
is there a certain word or words or terminology or something that you hear in your sleep? Like, I'm not the biggest Peyton Manning fan, but I hear Omaha, Omaha about 77 times a day.
For me, I guess it's just the cadence, that Blue 80, I guess just like, again, we listen on TV every day, every like Sunday, you hear somebody say, Blue 80, Red 80, ta-da, and that's just... I think that's kind of what I get just synonymous with NFL football. Yeah.
Same thing?
Yeah, same thing.
All right, question from the audience. Do you or would you want your son to play football? Or, I'm going to change it, your child to play football sooner or later?
Yeah. Yeah. I have no qualms with my kids playing football or doing whatever it is, whatever sport they want to do. No, I'm going to let them pursue it.
All right, with you answering that, I need to clarify. Would you want your son to play football or do you want him to play football?
Hey, if he can get it. If he's that good, I'm ship him off to Spain and have him join the Barcelona Youth League.
19-year-old.
Yeah, 19-year-old, $450 millionaire, you know. We can get one of those going. That would be wonderful.
Get your own island.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Do you know the story about how Caleb got into football? It's phenomenal, and I butcher it. I mean, I tell it. But tell the story real quick for the people here again.
I'm surprised
to me,
I've you.
Been doing...
Oh, your mom thought you were sending to soccer back.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
Yeah,
so
I remember
that.
Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that not awesome?
That's incredible. It really is. It's pretty sweet.
It's probably my favorite story of the 30-some years I've been doing these shows.
She still laughs about it when I talk to her on the phone. Just, like, imagine, like, you know... that mistake and look where it got us, you know. So it's just, it's crazy. God is good for sure.
I'd rather watch you as I don't know what's it called, a striker. I want to see you play soccer right now.
Before I got big,
he's definitely got the feet to do that.
Before I got big, I thought I had skills, you know. And it's when you're Nigerian, everybody everywhere plays soccer all the time, and so, you know, you think you're better than you are. So I thought I was pretty good, but those guys are on a different level with the way they control the ball.
Another question from the audience. If you could play another professional sport not called football or soccer, what would the two you guys want to play? Because I know you'd say soccer. So.
Yeah, I would play baseball, honestly. They just look – baseball or basketball. I mean, those guys
– both have guaranteed contracts.
Yeah,
so that's
both have guaranteed contracts. That's true. But I think, like, football – when I'm getting ready for football, I'm lifting weights, doing drills, you know, it's all this different stuff. But for basketball, when I'm getting ready for basketball, I just go shoot hoops, you know? And I think it's like a different dynamic and different kind of outlook.
Yeah, practice is different.
Sport. Practice is just way differently, you know? Instead of like, we're actually playing football, doing team reps for 20 minutes out of a 2-hour practice, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's like, most of it is like specific drill work and footwork and stuff like that. So it'd be cool just to, you know, see a different dynamics, different sports. And then baseball, just like football, we're doing a lot of things really, really quickly, you know, and it's like in short bursts where outfielder can sit there for an hour and a half, have no work come to him, and then all of a sudden he has to make a wall catch to win the game. You know, it's just
right.
The dynamics are different, so it's cool.
Yeah, so I grew up wanting to play baseball. not because of money or anything like that, but just because that's just what I thought I was going to be good at. And then just transitioned into want to play football. And I don't know if I'd pick baseball or not. I think it's unfortunate that our Olympic athletes have to be amateurs, and they don't get the type of funds that they deserve, you know, because they put – I mean, it's year-round for them, everything that they do to represent our country well, you know. And people take that really seriously every 4 years, the medal count, you know what I mean? Like, right. I mean, to countries who don't win, they're like, it doesn't matter. But to, like, countries who win, you know, it matters. And, like, I always – and I really enjoyed track growing up, shot put and discus. And I always thought that being an Olympic shot putter would be a pretty phenomenal experience. Cool. Yeah.
Edwin Moses, you know who that is? The hurdler? You, again, before your time, but check this guy out.
All right.
What were you saying?
I was going to ask him, like, were you good at shot put?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty good, but I wasn't like a 60-foot thrower or anything like that, you know what I mean? I mean, I just, like, I mean, I went to state and all that kind of stuff. I medaled and all that, but...
No,
it was just something as like it was something as I got older, you just found more appreciation for it, you know, just because of how difficult it is,
right,
you know, to be at that level and do what they do. So yeah, that was pretty sweet.
So if baseball coulda, shoulda, woulda, did you have a favorite baseball team or just again players? We're gonna go way back to your favorite player, right? Like A-Rod?
No, not A-Rod.
I'm just saying that time, you know.
Yeah, so I grew up a Red Sox fan. Because I have family from out northeast, and so I grew up watching like Curt Schilling and all those guys, and so yeah, Red Sox. Probably
can you
my
do the
team.
Carlton Fisk wave?
No, I can't do that.
Can you
no,
do that?
No, I can't.
You need to be taught or something.
Yeah,
I
need to be taught that. Yeah.
When the schedule first comes out every year, do you guys take a look at it? Not necessarily to look at, you know, we're going to beat this team or this team's going to be tough, but just, you know, the team, the city, the travel that you're going to do. Do you look at it, or do you guys not even care?
I look at it like, which one of my friends am I playing and what weeks am I playing them? It's so I can start trash talking now. And that's basically what it is. Like, when the schedule came out, like, I circled this Green Bay game for a very long time because, I mean, Kenny Clark, one of my really good friends, you know, one of my best friends, got to play against him. You know, he had a bang-up ankle, came back and played through it, you know, in the game yesterday. Brett Hundley, another really good friend and teammate of mine from UCLA.
That's right.
Got to play against him. And so, you know, those things are a lot. It's a lot of fun for me when you get to see, like we talked about the jersey exchange, stuff like that. When you get to see your friends and teammates and play against them, it's really cool. So I look good for that.
So before you answer, I was thinking as you were saying that, there was more than one UCLA guy. So who did you trade with?
I got both. I traded with Kenny. You know, we came in together. But also Brett, I'm going to send him a jersey when the season's over signed. And he's going to send me his also signed. And so I got both of them.
I was going to ask, all right, who got, you know, shafted? Because you got two.
Yeah. No, we squared it away.
What was it like doing the Hard Knocks?
I don't know. It was reality TV, you know, cameras everywhere. It was really uncomfortable at first because they're listening to everything that you're doing. And I don't know. It wasn't what it was cracked up to be, you know what I mean? Like, it was, I think it was great for the fans and people to see, like, what our daily lives are like, you know, in Tampa. And but from a player perspective, it was just, you know, it was a little invading, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And they tried not to be, but they were. And then, you know, it's reality TV, so they create things that aren't there and storylines that aren't there, you know? And like, for example, they have cameras in all of our meeting rooms, right? And the O-line and D-lines have the funniest meeting rooms by far. I mean, just the stuff that gets said in good fun, like nothing like dirty, is just hilarious. And they didn't take the time to use any of what we did in our meetings. And we had a lot of hilarious moments in camp, you know what I mean? So we were like, well, why'd you want to make and create a storyline when you had one that was out of good fun, you know, but that doesn't get people to watch, you know, so it was a little different.
Was there ever a situation in the filming or as, you know, you watched it that it didn't happen in that order? And the reason I'm asking that is, again, UFC-wise, when The Ultimate Fighter was on one year, they showed Matt Hughes playing solitaire in the back as his fighter was losing a fight. And that's how they showed it.
Oh.
Only he played cards 2 weeks earlier and they pieced it together to make Matt look bad.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Was there anything like that they took out of context?
You go first.
Yeah, so there were these, there were two players they had cut from the team, like, I think on the first episode. There was like two or three players that they had cut from the team, and they showed them in the office with Dirk, like, it's nothing you could have did. You know, we really liked you. But the reality of it is those guys got hurt, and that's why they got cut. When they got cut, it had nothing to do with, like, they weren't playing well, they weren't good enough. It was just strictly off the fact that all those guys suffered injuries, but that's not a sexy storyline cliffhanger to leave it 100%. Off of. You got to make it. So they just put it in there 100%. And then talk about really what happened. They were just like, oh, hey, these are the first guys who got cut and made it look all sad, where really those guys just got hurt playing football.
Were you able to block out that the cameras are in your face the whole time? A lot of times guys are like, oh, I didn't even realize it was there. But how do you not realize the camera's right in front of you the whole time?
No, you get used to it because we have people out filming at practice every day during the season on the field filming. So you get used to it a little bit, but then you just know there's more people out there than needs to be, you know?
Right.
And, I mean, for us, like in training camp, it's awesome when the fans come out and support us during training camp and get us fired up. But, you know, that's completely different than, you know, someone being 10 feet away from you on the field the same time that we're doing live drills, you know? Right. So you always know that they're there. And you try to, I mean, like, literally the boomstick is right here, you know, in your face. You're trying to have a conversation with somebody about a play, you know, and you're just like, get out of here, you know. So,
before we run out of time, we only have about 60 seconds left. Leonard, if you can reach in there and grab one of those tickets. And Leonard is going to send whoever this person is to the Ryan Neese Power of Giving party.
Like, read the number?
Read the number, please, sir.
206-719.
71 time. Is it you? Okay. Shocking. Like I should be surprised. All right. I want to thank everybody for coming out. Let's thank Leonard and Caleb for coming out. I do have one more real quick gift for you. There's an 8-man strong shirt. I think you got a couple of those.
Leonard gets two of these.
I got two of these. I need to expand my wardrobe anyway. Yeah. Thanks, Caleb.
Thanks, everybody. Next week will be our last Monday night show for the season, so hopefully everybody will be back out. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay